You know, spiritually, that's a wonderful thing in your lifetime. When you spiritually wake up, he's real. And he wrote you a letter. And in that letter, he gives you many warnings. He gives you much advice. And when you follow it, you're blessed indeed. When you fail to follow it, you're going to end up in the ditch. So waking up is such a wonderful thing spiritually. This morning, I want to grasp how God interferes, or intercedes, better said, in the life of those that serve him. Probably one of the most important things is when he sent us the Savior. And there could have been many things gone wrong there. But through sleep and dreams and our Father talking to his people, it came out real good. We have a Savior. But I want you to gather strength from the fact that God is the same yesterday, he is today, and he will be forever. So he still leads his elect when they're awake. He guides them, he directs them, and that's where the blessings come from. So we're going to go right to the very beginning, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Let's watch how God intercedes with those that bring to pass, always fulfilling Scripture. That's why his word is so important. When you know the word, you know what's going to be fulfilled. Verse 18 of chapter 1, the great book of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, they were engaged. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, naturally, that would be, if you didn't know, and Joseph didn't, that'd be quite a shock. 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, he loved her, was minded to put her away privily. In other words, he was going to put her away, wasn't going to say anything, or as it's written in Deuteronomy 24:1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. How did the angel appear to him? In a dream. That word in the Greek tongue is onar. And it means exactly that, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, in other words, giving credit to his lineage, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So God interceded. He made it right. He put everything, he protected the very will of prophecy that had to come to pass. He does the same even to this day. Don't ever overlook that. His word is fulfilled by his election. Always he intercedes. He brings it to pass. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This would be Yahshua. What does it really mean? It means Yahweh's Savior. That's his title, that's his name, and that's what he was to accomplish. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. Now don't read over that. This happened so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying. In other words, all prophecy must be fulfilled. And that's why God wrote you this letter, so that you would know beforehand what, when, if a prophecy is given, when the time is right, when it's supposed to be, it's going to be fulfilled. And he never leaves us wanting. He always, if you are in his will, If you are awake spiritually, he guides you, he directs you, he brings it to pass. That's why you don't have to worry about his plan. It's solid. It's unique. He's in charge. He's in control. And he takes care of our enemies. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with, this is the scripture, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, where was that written? Isaiah 7:14. That scripture had to come to pass. Why? It was the Savior. And it was God with us. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep. Now, this is a little different word than dream. Raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. In other words, God insisted, God led. The word sleep here is not as the dream, onar. It in the Greek tongue is hopeness. And what it means sub-silence. It means spiritually torpor. Torpor is an English word. We don't use it all that much. But it's not Greek and it's not Hebrew. It's English. Torpor. And it means a state of being dormant or inactive, loss of sensation or motion. In other words, when God speaks to you, when you are truly led of God, it is torpor because you allow him to take over. And you let go and you let God. He has written the letter. It's going to come to pass exactly as it's written. That's why it's so important that you absorb it. Here we take the very simplest, but yet the most blessed, the birth of Christ, and use it as that example that God always, I mean always, directs, intercedes, leads, guides, controls. And what are you worried about? Well, I just like to worry a little. Well, you do it all on your own because your Father loves you. And that love comes forth in guiding you and in directing you. Why? Because not for just one individual, but so that you can be a blessing to others. That's why when you wake up, spiritually, you can hardly contain it within yourself. You want to share it. Sometimes you get nipped when you try to share the real truth. You can get bit, but it's worth it. Why? Because you're awake and the world sleeps, and how it sleeps in this generation. That's what brought this message to pass, was because the majority sleep. And it is time that those that are awake strengthen their faith in Almighty God to know he always controls. That means we win. We've got nothing to worry about except worry itself. Okay? And so there you have it. Is when he came out of that sleep, Christ took over. Even our Father took over. And certainly, let's read verse 25 again. And knew her not till she was born, brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What did you do? He obeyed. There's a great deal in that. If God leads you, if he directs you, you must obey if you want his blessings. Continue right on into chapter 2. Let's look at some more of God's work in this. And even in, again, I want to imply Many of you might say, well, this happened a long time ago. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, he is today, and he will be forever. But what he does here, he was establishing the salvation of the world through the only begotten Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Yeshua, which is to say Yahweh's Savior. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And you'll find this in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, that even the Gentiles would rush here, would come here to worship him. And it was this star, which is a sign. Why do you mention this verse? Because God uses signs. Can you read the signs? You read the signs by understanding his word, by being in the simplicity in which he brings forth the word. So these kings, what did they see? Verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? This would be actually translated Israel. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And so it is that the Gentiles saw, because God pays no partiality to people that love him, that follow him. They saw the sign, these kings did, and these wise men, rather. They saw that sign, and they followed it, knowing it was of God. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests, his, not ours, and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And naturally it's written in Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. What did it say? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and so it is. And again, why did this sign come forth? Because of the prophets and the prophecy that was made. It had to be fulfilled. And God chose this moment and these three to fulfill that. Verse 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the scripture. But it had to be fulfilled. And that's why the word becomes so important to you. Is he's told you beforehand. And when God tells you beforehand, you can believe him, because he's a keeper of his word. It always comes to pass as he has written. Verse 7, for Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He's a traitor. This is Satan right in God's camp, basically, showing you that God never misses a clue. He's wide open, and he's in control. Verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. He wanted to kill him. But God knows all things, and God protects his own. Verse 9, and when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, this is a sign from God, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the child, young child was. I mean, it pinpointed. God leading. God bringing to pass. when he said that even the Gentiles would search after this one born at Bethlehem. There they were, fulfilling that scripture. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. This from God. They knew it, they believed it, they accepted it. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so it was. Now, what happens then? Listen carefully. I mean, here, Herod wants to kill this child. What's God going to do about it? Verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream, that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. God has a way of reaching his people. He guides, he warns, he protects, and he will do the same for you today if you have the faith to put on the line. If you can believe the letter he has sent to you, it's got to be fulfilled exactly as it's written. That's why even, especially the end time prophecies, become so very, very important to us. Is they're going to be fulfilled. How? Exactly as they're written. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, here we go again, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. What did God promise in that? Safety by escaping. But he said, don't worry. When I'm ready, when it's right, I'll send for you. I won't forget you. I've got my eye on you. And naturally, not to compare any of us to the Son of God, but the fact that God is always, he's careful to control, whereby naturally Satan is always put in his place. 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, meaning secretly they split. 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled. Okay, what is this now? Fulfilled. Scripture, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. You can't miss it. All scripture will be fulfilled exactly as it's written. That should be very strengthening to you, to encourage you to absorb the scripture. Well, why? So you're foretold. So that you know in advance. So you're not caught off guard. Why? Because you're awake. You're spiritually awake. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from two years old and under, according to the time which is he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Evilness will be in the world, but God's word will come to pass as it's written. 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, it would not be comforted because they were not. Now, of course, that's Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15. Now, what does it say then on in verse 16 and 17? It says there in Jeremiah, don't worry. The blessings are coming upon my children. Rachel didn't need to weep for them because they're blessed of God. and God leads and God controls, when you're familiar with his letter that he sent to you, that must be fulfilled scripture by scripture, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving you the comfort of being awake, that is to say, in spiritual knowledge of what's going down, what's happening, so that you can be useful to him. You can say, here I am, God, use me. And if he needs you, he will. And never fret about it. It's not for your benefit, but for all of our family. That is to say, that the family of God that walks the earth. If you want God's blessings, you will never be selfish to pray for something for yourself totally. It's all right to pray for something you really need. But if all your prayers are self, you're not going to get anything. Why? God answers prayer for those that serve the people. God answers prayer for those that love the family, that reach out to them, that help them, that protect them, that instruct them. That's how he operates. And it's very obvious. You might say, well, can you document that? I don't know. The scripture does. Why did he answer Moses? When Moses said, don't destroy them. Because Moses wasn't praying for himself. Moses was praying for the children of God. And God let it be known for that reason. He was going to allow the prayer to be answered because Moses wasn't praying for himself. He was praying for the family of God. How precious it is, our Father, as he continues. So the children didn't have to, she didn't have to weep for her children. They were well blessed. Why? It's written. Verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. God speaks to his own. Sometimes it's a still, small voice. Sometimes it may be a sign. Sometimes it may be a nudge in a direction, and you may wonder, why did I come here? Why did this happen to me? Well, he knows if you are awake. And if you're serving him. But here we go again. He had told Joseph, you go, I'll call when I need you. He's calling. Verse 20, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Herod's gone. 21, and he arose and he took the young child and his mother and he came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, there we go again, God speaking to him. In a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Do you know why this happened? If you're familiar with the scripture, you know it was to fulfill scripture. Why? Verse 23, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. That's the prophecy, and it had to be fulfilled. How precious it is to know God is the same yesterday, he is today, and he will be forever. And when he, especially in these end times, things are going to come to pass as they're written. And who will he use? He will use his election to bring those to pass. He says in Romans chapter 8, and we're not going there, verse 26, he said, you don't even know what to pray for. He said, you don't. That's why I'm going to intercede in your life, because you are foreordained with foreknowledge, meaning I will pull the lever and you will act upon it, because you're awake spiritually. And this is how our Father operates. He's the same yesterday, he is today, and he will be forever. Okay, let's go now to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Verse 10. Let's pick it up there. Verse 10, Romans chapter 13. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. In other words, if you love our Father and if you love his word, for his word is the law, then it's complete and there is no fault. Verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, oh, not. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It gets closer every day. And as you grow and mature in the scripture, knowing what must be fulfilled and what must come to pass, and that you are of that family that brings it to pass to get it done, can-do type people. Okay. Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You put on that gospel armor. Most of all, what's the girt, the belt? It's the word of God. That keeps you all together. God's word keeps it together for you when you're familiar with it. That lets you know what scriptures must be fulfilled before that hour can be. 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, jealousies and so forth. That doesn't cut it. Why? Because we're a family. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Why? You don't need it. God always takes care of his own, and everything is complete within that when you love him. To complete this lecture, go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5 comes just following chapter 4, which most people put the rapture theory. They fail to read verse 13 and 14, which Christ sets the subject of what he's talking about. That's where the dead are. He said, they're with me. They're in my arms. I'm holding them. They're mine. And there's no way you can precede them. Do you know why? Because they're already gone. And then at the seventh trump, you change into that spiritual body. It's called air, not atmosphere, but era in the Greek tongue. And many people misunderstand that and are deceived. But he brings this fifth chapter to pass as to what you're supposed to hang on to, what you're supposed to live, and how you are supposed to live. Chapter 5, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. In other words, you're not going to get all messed up in the rapture doctrine, but because it's not going to happen. I've got things for you to do right here. And if you've read the scripture, you know what they are. All the way from Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Those things are going to come to pass, and God's elect are going to be the one that bring it to pass. Verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Well, how could... The Lord's day is how long? It's 1,000 years. It's the millennium. It's going to come as a thief in the night. Well, when does the thief in the night come? Nobody knows. Unless what? Unless you're awake. And what puts most people to sleep concerning that thief in the night? When they think Christ is already here. That's what chapter 4 was about. Not rapture, but warning. The deceiver is coming. And naturally, the time that people are most easily fooled is if they feel the Antichrist is the true Messiah. And many will. You can read all through the book of Revelation, the whole world whores after the false one. Why? Because they haven't been taught. And they're not awake. They need to wake up. Because the main reason they will be deceived is they will think that Christ is already here. Why? Because they're asleep. But you being awake and being familiar with the scripture, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, there is no way that Christ will return until after the son of perdition stands in the holy place claiming to be God. And we will stand against him. So let it be known that the time most people are caught off guard is when they think that the day of the Lord has already come, only they're being deceived. Well, how could they be deceived? They've never studied. They've never truly for themselves dug out chapter by chapter and verse by verse what saith Almighty God. Because that's how it's going to come to pass. Not what some preacher might say. Not what this man or any other man might say. But exactly as it's written, it shall flow forth. You're going to be there? You bet you are. Because why? You're awake. But this is why it comes as a thief in the night. Verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. In other words, it's the birth of a new age, the Lord's day. That's what it is. And throughout the Word of God, Ezekiel 13, I can think of many. It says they're going to cry peace and safety, and that's when comes destruction. Well, how could that be? You've never read the book of Daniel? The book of Daniel is an overlay of the prophecy of the book of Revelation. What does it say in the book of Daniel? It said that the Antichrist will come in prosperously and peacefully, saying, peace, peace, peace. But there will not be any peace following him. So the deception is set, and people are wired. But if you're awake, and you know the scripture, it will come to pass as it's written. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Well, you know who's coming first. 5, ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. You are not of the night nor of darkness. I don't care what time of the day it is. If you're awake, spiritually speaking here, then you're in the light. And the darkness will not overtake you. God will never allow it. Therefore, let us not sleep. There goes that word again. As do others, but let us watch and be sober. Be sincere about it. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. The Savior is here. You don't have to worry about it. Believe and follow. For God has not, I want to repeat that again, for God has not, N-O-T, not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. There will be many that will pray for mountains to fall on them. Why would they do that? They're Christian people. They've attended churches. I mean, right on the, maybe their family had the first pew in the church, had their name on it. You know, it does happen. And I mean, they, if that door opened, they were there. But there was just one problem. They were never fed. They were never fed the scripture. They listened to stories. They did not know that the false one would come first. All they were told, you don't have to understand God's word. You're going to be gone. If you would let, you know, if you would be foolish enough to let some preacher get away with that, you deserve to be deceived. You really do. But they're going to be praying because they meant to be Christian. They love the Lord. And then to wake up and find out they've worshiped Satan himself. They're too ashamed to face the true Christ. And as it's written in Revelation chapter 9, they pray for the mountains to fall on them. You don't want to go there. And that's why you must work and lead and guide, be awake and help all you can to prevent anyone you can from dying, from being deceived into that terrible death of ignorance. But you just don't want to let them go there if you can help it at all. God has promised you don't have to go through that day of wrath if you're awake. That's why this is so very, very important. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, him who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him eternally. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And that's what God's elect do. They always do that. We thank our Father for waking us. We thank our Father for the scripture that must be fulfilled and is being fulfilled, for forewarning us to keep the shame away, because of knowledge sets you free from that. Truth sets you free. So always thank our Father for that. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, again for the privilege of being allowed, Father, to serve thee. Be with this family wherever they may go. Let them be a light, Father, to the world, that example of following you. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus. Amen, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
That's why they can call him the Son of Man. He was the Son of the living God. And you cannot. It is a gross sin to try to bring another religion into Christianity. Christianity will stand quite well on its own. And it has for many, many years, and it will continue to do so. So even if some fruitcake is trying to make a new religion, there's nothing new under the sun. He's probably setting a bunch of people up to be deceived by the false Messiah. Carl from Wisconsin, where did Cain's wife come from? Did all people and things get destroyed from the first world age? He did make a complete end to it. That's two separate questions. The answer to all people being destroyed and cities, you can read in Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning with verse 18, that was speaking of the first earth age. Where did Cain get his wife? God created a lot of people, all the races, on the sixth day. And he looked and it was good. Some of them went to the land of Nod. And when Cain was driven from Adam and Eve's family, he went to the land of Nod and took one of the six-day creation as his wife. That's real simple when you follow the manuscripts. Lori from Iowa. Some Christians say that Jesus gives us power like he had, and because we are children of God, we can be just like Jesus. Can you please explain? I don't want to be deceived, because they say that Satan will come back preaching he is God. Well, it is true that he will come back saying he is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7 declare that. But I would be very uncomfortable listening to somebody that would say we can be just like Jesus, or that we would have the same power he has. Now, the scripture I quoted from Isaiah chapter 7, that you'll call him Emmanuel, that is to say God. What are you saying then? That if we believe we can have the power of God? That's almost knocking the door on blasphemy. And certainly if you went along with it, you would be one deceived person. It would be extremely disrespectful to the office of the Godhead to teach a message of that nature. It is a blessing to be a Christian. It is a blessing to have the Spirit of God upon us. But don't ever compare yourself to God. That is blasphemy. Jenny from California, did God know that Adam and Eve were going to sin before he created them? Did he know that more people after them were going to be sinners? Thank you. Well, he had a pretty good idea because of the first earth age. Why does God create people, and why doesn't he just create them where they can't sin? Well, then he would be controlling and he'd have a bunch of zombies. Why? Because the main thing he wants from man is for man to love him. And you can't control somebody and have genuine love, because love must generate within the entity's heart and mind and go outward to the Father. And that's what he wants, and that's why he will not force people to love him. Yeah, I think he knew people would sin. As a matter of fact, if you read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, you got first advent, second advent. So he knew Christ would be crucified long before Christ walked the earth. Diana from Michigan. I am concerned about the number 666. It is coming up on things around me. Even my daughter's phone numbers have it. Is there anything wrong with that? It scares me. Well, don't be frightened. You know, knowledge is a wonderful thing. It drives fear away. Don't you know what 666 means? It's the number of the one that will be the deceiver. Now, there are six seals, there are six trumps, and there are six vials. And in the book of Revelation, where it speaks of 666, every time the sixth seal, sixth trump, sixth vial opens, you've got Satan here as Antichrist. So that's what it means, to have knowledge to know that. That we're speaking here of the sixth seal, sixth trump, and sixth vial. That the true Christ doesn't return until the seventh. Or you could be deceived. So hang on to that. Don't let some... They could tattoo you with sixes all over your body. It wouldn't change what your mind loves God. Okay? May from Mississippi. There is something in the Bible that says flee to the mountains. I would like to know what that means. You're quoting Mark chapter 13, verse 14, where it says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place where it ought not. Properly translated in Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, which is what it has reference to, when it says the desolator, not desolation, the desolator will come in on the wings of deception. The desolator is Satan, is Antichrist. So what Daniel chapter, I'm sorry, Mark 13, 14 is saying, they're flee to the mountains, they're in Jerusalem when that was started talking about the chapter. It means that when you see the Antichrist standing in the holy place, you want to flee away from there, but however, at the same time, it is our responsibility to be delivered up, so that God can speak through us and witness. But that's where it's written. This would be Sharon from Washington. How often to anoint one's home? Every 24 hours question, because different people enter one's home every day. Thank God for Shepherd's Chapel. Well, thank you for being with us. Sharon, you know, what you want to do is anoint your doorposts with the oil of our people against anything evil coming in, piggyback and or otherwise, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that way, even if somebody does come in that has an evil spirit, they got to park it outside. That is power. It's not your power. That's Christ's power. But anoint your home at any time you feel something negative about it. Kim from Texas, does the five-month period have to be May through September, or can it be another time of the year? Will we know when the first half of the five-month period begins? Yes, we will. Why? Because the two witnesses come prior to the 5 months. But it is possible that the Antichrist reign will be May through September. That's the time of the locusts. But he's coming as a thief in the night, meaning we don't know. And why? Well, why would you say that, Pastor Murray? Because I don't want you deceived if he comes in December. I want you to know who it is and what he's doing if he should come in December, okay? Or any other time of the year. It will be a five-month period. And in my own opinion, I think it will be May through September. But we're not going to be deceived irregardless of that. Whatever time he decides to come, he will be as a thief in the night. And we're going to be ready for him. John from North Carolina, I've been studying with you for about 4 months, and I have been learning a great deal. I enjoy your teaching very much. The question I want to ask you is, does God control the weather? This pastor told us in church that he did or didn't. I can't make your writing out. I know God controls everything. Can you explain this to me? Well, our Father created the heavens and the earth. And when he destroyed the first earth age, this earth now is about 90 miles off true north to magnetic north. Got a little bit of, this allows the firmament to fall, and jet streams appeared. And the jet streams basically control the weather, determine the weather. So yes, God created it, but he's not necessarily in every little old storm. It's the thing of nature. And this is why we have meteorologists that are able to determine by the jet streams, by the pressure, millibars, dew points, just about what the weather's going to do. They're pretty good at it. But nature itself determines that. If God so chooses to bring a storm, he certainly can do it. But not normally would he. Okay, but, this would be Diana from Tampa. Your knowledge has helped me understand the meaning of the Bible, how it is remarkable and comforting to be closer to Jesus Christ our Father. P.S. My sister asked me, where did amen come from? Exact translation and language, please. Well, it's either Hebrew or Greek. It's the same word. And amen usually closes a topic, and it simply means when you're teaching and you say amen, you're saying, that's that. In other words, there's no ifs, no ands, no maybes. Amen means that's that. End of story. Linda from Indiana, what is the year of the fig? Please explain. Well, we are told to learn the parable of the fig tree. Didn't say maybe you should learn it. Because why? Because in that generation, all prophecy would come to pass. It would conclude. So therefore, it becomes very important that you know. And the ground basis for it is the fig leaves that Adam and Eve covered themselves with. But the year part, you determine in Jeremiah 24, concerning the good fig and the bad fig in Jerusalem, that in times that it would be inhabited by both the good and the bad seed, and that when it established itself as a nation, that was 1948, that generation would not pass until all scripture is fulfilled. Jeremiah 24, or if you have trouble with that, I have a work titled Parable of the Fig Tree. It's not maybe you should know it, you got to know it. Michelle from Mexico, is it possible that God would allow a family member to be our guardian angel, or even more like John the Baptist or Elijah or one of God's people that has passed on? I thank you and all my love for what you do. Well, thank you. We appreciate having you with us. And Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 is what you're looking for. If you are one of the set aside ones, that means one of God's election. It states that your angel has the face of God at any time you need him. If your angel has the face of God, it means they can get God's attention, you can get some help that quick. I believe that with all my heart because I've seen it come to pass in my lifetime in war and peace. Our Father certainly loves his children. Stephen from Tennessee, is it possible for a Christian in good standing, of course, to repent for other people's sins? That is, they have any, of course, like intercessory prayer. Of course, the intercessory prayer is very good. It's not to say necessarily that God will answer it. There may be reasons that he's dealing with that person that we wouldn't know. But it certainly never hurts I have seen intercessory prayer work over and over. I have seen intercessory prayer change the minds of people that a team of mules couldn't change. Okay. Stubborn, obstinate, and yet intercessory prayer by a wife and boom, a new creature. Doesn't happen every time, but I have witnessed it happening. God is works miracles. Awesome. Jeannie from Oklahoma, I have learned from your teachings about the seals, vials, and trumpets. My question is, will the children of God be able to actually hear the sound of the trumpets and do follow the words of Revelation? I'm not sure I can recognize the symbolism in Revelation. Well, you're going to have the two witnesses here then, but you will. You know what the seals are. Step by step, it's pretty well laid out. And God will never leave us nor forsake us. You can count on it. When you need him, he will be there. And so it is. Vicki from Arizona. Vicki, when a young person sins and does not know a thing is a sin, it's forgivable right now. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness, all right? Vivian from Florida, I watch your TV series almost every day. I believe in you and feel good after watching and listening to you. The only thing I'm concerned about is you're using the term spirit instead of ghost. Well, it's pneuma, and I choose to say pneuma, spirit, rather than spook. There's no word spook in the Bible. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's word. Most of all, God loves you for it, makes his day. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me and you listen good. You stay in his word every day, in his word, even with trouble. Still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus Yeshua is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
This has been a long time I've been promising a children's book. This is a book that will help a parent teach their child exactly what God's word states. Now, this was done by a very good friend and student of this chapel. We have given it, if you would, a binder whereby if there is a page that you feel is too far advanced for your children, then by all means you should remove that particular page. It is done in a material that is even washable, and it takes you step by step into instructing a child what does God's word say. And I think you will find it extremely helpful. It is item number 4414.
the Strong's.
Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Rapture theory. Let's go with it. This will be the last installment lecture on the subject for this time. So perhaps we should think for a moment, what did we finish with? Ezekiel 13, what did it say? God is against those that sow coverings or hide every joint of his outreaching